Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So first things first, I know that we're going to be doing Joker at some point. We will do a mini pod of that. So for those of you who have been enjoying listening to us do constant mini pods,
yeah,
the big Joker one will be coming out probably later than you're accustomed to.
Yeah, probably. But hopefully in a couple weeks. I mean, we should be back doing something in a couple weeks.
And that's going to be a main type of mini pod, because Barrett will be in on that, and Jeremy will be in on that. And so we're gonna do that, but we're not going to have it like right after it comes out or anything.
Yeah, I think as much as you guys can, I believe like Barrett and Jeremy are at least planning on being on one a month.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of
We're going to have a big one every month. So
yeah,
but we've
got some fun stuff coming up. I mean, Gemini Man comes out in a couple weeks, and we're getting into some bigger.
Yeah,
movies.
I can't wait until October because that's where the movies start getting better.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And we are doing the mini pod.
Yeti pod?
Yeti pod. This is the one that you guys have all been waiting for. You didn't think we were going to try to do a lot of movies, but this proves we are. Abominable is the movie. It's the only major release coming out in September 25th weekend.
Yeah, yeah, 27th. Yeah, it's I guess that Renee Zellweger Judy movie is getting like a bit of a release, but not a wide one. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is the first kids film in quite a while, actually.
Yeah, was it Toy Story 4 was the last one?
Well, Lion King. You mean animated?
Yeah.
Angry Birds 2, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to count that.
I don't know if we should, but yeah, I guess it is. This one comes from DreamWorks, who... This studio is weird to me because they're not nearly at the height as where they were when they were doing Shrek and even like Shark Tale and all of that and everything that was coming out. But over the years, they've sort of gone to this, I don't know, I guess they heard the, or they changed management or whatever.
I'm not really sure who exactly owns them now. They're all over the place.
Yeah, they've changed some sort of management. They used to be associated with Paramount. I'm not sure that's even a thing anymore, but they've changed the way their animated movies are. Like, there's a lot more heart to them than there were
back
in the day.
Sure.
It used to be in the 2000s when they first started becoming, really big and everything. Everything was about being as sarcastic and just like, I mean, everything was like pop culture references.
Yeah, they were the anti-Disney.
Yeah, that was the main thing. And I think that's probably because of Jeffrey Katzenberg and everything. But then they started doing stuff like Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah. And
I think How to Train Your Dragon was a big influence on where they went. It sure as hell is a big influence on what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it for sure is, because the creature in Abominable acts a lot like Toothless in How to Train Your Dragon and everything. So, some initial thoughts about this movie. What'd you think?
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's probably the best way to describe this movie. Mm-hmm. It's not particularly bad, but it's not good. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's going to get points for going to looking at another culture and making a cross-country trip across China instead of the U.S.
I wish it had done more with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's going to get credit for that. It is a little weird that Chloe Bennett voices Yi, the main character, who's, we're talking about a lot of Chinese characters.
Yeah.
And most of the voices are.
Yeah. yes.
voiced by for Asian sure. actors and everything, but she's not, and I don't know why.
I don't either.
It makes no sense. Makes no sense.
But she's very good.
No, I mean, she's yeah, very good. Yeah. No problem with what she does at all. And you know, I mean, you know, for families, I mean, yeah, the character of Abominable is really cute and like, you know, one of those relatable. Yeah. Animated characters that you fall in love with.
Yeah, he's you said toothless. He's very toothless-esque. He's also kind of got a, I don't know why I kept thinking of Baymax. I mean, I don't know that they're really that similar, but for some reason, maybe just because he's big. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, no, he's a perfectly fine character. I think kids are going to, for the most part, love this movie.
Yeah.
I think this movie has a lot going for it in that, like we just said, there hasn't been a lot that's come out in the last, like, 5 weeks. I mean, really the only movie that's even out now, I think, still in a decent amount of theaters is Lion King that mm-hmm. you would even take your kids to.
Yeah.
And that's been out, you know, since July. So I think this is going to get a lot of traction just on that alone. Adults that are listening to this, if you have kids – it's a perfectly fine movie to take your kid to. I don't think you're going to be, you're not going to hate yourself for sitting through it.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not going to probably remember it a week later, but, yeah. But like it, like I said, it's perfectly fine.
I was not expecting much.
Yeah.
And it met those expectations.
That's true. That's a very good, it actually does like actually meet those expectations.
Right.
And maybe we get into more of this about in spoilers, but I thought it was really interesting too that for the third movie in a row, we are dealing with a main character with father issues.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I mean, it was just missing a scene where her father told her he hated her.
Yeah, exactly. Like why didn't? Yeah, they should have figured out that the father needed to leave, and then she would find him on this journey.
But this is an animated movie, you know. This is so the father had to die.
Yeah,
obviously, because that's what we do to our kids.
I've got to say, I was thinking about this during this movie. It just feels like we can't make a character interesting anymore unless they've had a parent die. It's become a crutch, right?
Especially for a lot of animated movies.
Yeah. It doesn't, I mean, every single movie, it seems like nowadays, has a character who's like this and they don't have both parents, but it's not because they divorced or anything. Mm-hmm. It's because one of them has died or both of them has died. And I guess it's you start from a place there. Like, how do I make this character interesting? Oh, well, dad died. Dad had a lot of influence. I was thinking of Bumblebee during this movie.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah.
At the very beginning, like everything that they set up at the beginning of Bumblebee is like the same thing here.
Yeah, that's right.
Where the father's died. The father had was teaching her some sort of talent that she has later on. And she's working these jobs. And everything.
No, oh my God, that's an insanely good comparison.
She's working these jobs and she's got these popular kids that she's trying to impress.
Yeah.
And they're just like, all right, well, it's not like Bumblebee was the only one, but it reminded me of Bumblebee.
That's a recent example of this, right. Of this kind of crutch. Yeah.
Right. Before we get into any kind of spoilers or anything, what would you rate this?
I think this is a C.
See?
I mean, I think this is a straight up just across the board. I mean, this is very middle of the road. This is like 5 out of 10. You know, it like you said, low expectations. It kind of stays there. Doesn't really move the God, I can't think what I'm trying to say. Doesn't move the meter at all, I guess.
Needle. This is one of those things where I get tied up into a knot on ratings. This is why. For the longest time, when I would do reviews, I wouldn't give stars or letter grades or anything like that. Like, we gave Ad Astra a B-, and I think it deserves a B-. This movie doesn't aim for as much, but I still feel like it's a B-.
I hear you.
Like, Ad Astra aimed really high, and so it got a B-.
And I think, you know, the Roger Ebert's deal was all, I mean, different critics are different, but I know Roger Ebert's deal was he would try to stay within the genres, and, you know, there's other critics that do different things. So, I mean, you know, if you're looking at, like, an animated movie, I mean, I could see this being, I think also, like, I think it's a range. Like, I think it's somewhere in that B- to, like, C range.
Yeah.
I think I'm just kind of falling on the lower end of it.
Yeah, it's not like my B- is any better than your C.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where I would put this. It does a serviceable job of getting, you know, having that family outlet, it's good. It does exactly what you would hope it would do.
Looks good. It's very easy on the eyes. Like you said, the abominable, Everest is his name. She gives him the name of Everest. Mm-hmm. He's adorable. And really, like, he's very, not that I've seen a lot of, like, Yeti movies, but, like, and I except for Smallfoot, I can't even think of an animated one.
Well, Missing Link came out earlier this year.
Oh, I forgot about Missing Link. That's more of a Sasquatch, though,
I guess. It's Sasquatch, but he's looking for his brethren, who are the
true.
Yeti.
That's true. Oh, that's right. That's the whole thing. They go up there. Down there.
So we had like two movies this year that sort of deal with this.
And then Smallfoot came out last year.
Trying to get back home thing. I didn't see Smallfoot. What was it about?
It was about, I think it was supposed to be like, because it's called Smallfoot, so you would think that'd be Bigfoot, but I think they were Yeti, if I remember correctly, because they were definitely like in a cold area. And the whole thing there was, it was kind of a twist on the whole thing. Like, they're scared of the humans.
Yeah, the humans
are the small feet.
Right. So it's not, this time, it's not a Bigfoot that wanders away or is alone or anything.
It's more of what you would look at, like, an early DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a little slapsticky and punny and, like, fart jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely more in the How to Train Your Dragon. Up was another thing that I kept thinking of, mm-hmm. because there's the whole thing about she wants to do these things that her dad wanted to do with her.
Yeah.
So it's definitely more in those, it's a go for the feels,
mm-hmm.
Kind of movie. I just don't think it's anywhere near as successful as those.
Even
not that I loved Bumblebee, but like, I don't even know if it's as successful as Bumblebee.
Yeah.
That might be a good one to compare it to, though.
Yeah, I'd say so. Okay. Well, let's move on to, spoilers as much as we could possibly spoil this movie.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
put me in that one. No. I'm reading the books.
I don't think I ever quite got everything down here. We have a character by the name of Burnish, who is apparently like this guy who's a wealthy, like, philanthropist type or whatever.
Yeah, he's actually, speaking of Up, he's kind of like the villain in Up, right?
Yeah,
kind of what he does.
Kind of guess, yeah. Where we'd be, and he's got a facility, though, where he keeps all these, like, these very rare creatures, including the Abominable Snowman, which we find out is like a younger version of it. It looks big to everybody else, but it's a baby.
Yeah, I can't even remember exactly. I remember that scene being kind of silly where they figure that.
Because, that was stupid.
Because she puts rocks in front of him and says, "These are your parents."
Yeah,
and then he holds them. So then it's like, oh, well, he's a kid.
Yeah, he just there's a point where he's playing around with that character who likes all the basketball. Peng, I think. He's they're like having a little like roughhousing type of thing, and then she goes, "Oh, I get it now. He's just like a kid."
Yeah.
And then she does that rock thing.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's always good to have your Abominable Snowman or whatever, your other out there who knows all human, like, everything that they mean when they do stuff. Like, you put rocks in front of most animals, they're going to be like, "What the fuck is that?" But this guy, he's like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and at the first of the movie, too, they do, you know, when she's trying to help him, they do a lot of, like, where she's showing him, like, "Look, I'm going to put these bandages on you," and stuff that makes sense, mm-hmm. like the way she's communicating with him. But then about 20 minutes later, they've abandoned all that. They're just talking to him.
Yeah.
Like he's
and
one
he
of
just
them.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just carrying on conversations with him.
Yeah. The Burnish character is doing this, but there's another, like, secondary villain character, Dr. Zara. This is Sarah Paulson. Voices.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't know she's a villain.
We don't
know
at the beginning. We think she's a sweet, scientist doing work.
Yeah.
And trying to find out things and preserve these type of animals. But then we find out later she's actually real crooked and evil and everything.
Yeah, she's wanting to, like, I think she's trying to sell the Yeti to somebody that's going to, like, dissect it. And
right. There's going to be there's going to be money involved with whatever that they do when they get him. But yeah, we don't know that at first. We think Burnish is like the real guy, but he's actually a good guy in this. Although
he finds his way.
Yeah, he finds his way. He's because at first we think he's just an evil villain because they show him the whooping snakes.
Yeah.
And he goes over and just like wants to like hit him and then he wants to make a belt out of him. He's basically Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. And he's saying stuff to like his like henchmen, you know, like if you can't find them, you're going to go back to like being a traffic guard at the school, you know, he's just saying, or, you know, like valeting or whatever it is, you know, he's like being all tough and.
Yeah. So the main thing is that the abominable snowman thing, which we eventually call Everest, breaks out of this facility and then ends up on top of this building, an apartment building.
Yeah.
And I guess stays there for like more than 24 hours, just knocked out. I don't know. Cause we see the main character, Yi, going to all of her jobs and all this other stuff.
Yeah, there must be like mounds of shit up on top of that.
You would think
apartment building.
It could be. He just slept the whole time. I don't know. I'd prefer to think that more than the shitting. But
I know.
She goes through all that stuff where she's going through all of her jobs and she's being made fun of by the rich kids, including a kid that's in her building, She goes up, and I guess her mom wants to, like, would you bring out that violin and we can play some music?
Yeah.
And she claims to have sold the violin, which we find out immediately is not true. She's kept it. She just doesn't like hanging out with her mom and grandma. And then she plays the violin, and the abominable snowman, there's a helicopter that comes by while she's doing the
work. Yeah, they're searching for it.
And that's when she finds it.
And then starts helping.
Yeah, and then there's the most convenient shit ever where, like, there's a sign for Everest just hanging up, and that just happens to be where he's from. And she's like, is that where you want to go? And, like, yeah, they're going to make this 1,000-mile trek from, I think it's Shanghai.
That sounds right.
To Mount Everest, and they don't bring warm clothing.
No,
they just like in t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, they just decide at the last second to jump on that boat, and here they go.
Jumps, yeah, and then
doesn't even know where the boat's going.
Two other characters, and this one character, Ping, who's like the big basketball obsessed kid, jumps on with her, and then the other guy, who I guess is like.
It's Pink's cousin.
It's Pink's cousin.
And it sounds like they're,
his name's Jen.
Yeah, Jen. And then Yi and Jen apparently have grown up together. I guess they're supposed to be like 17, 18. I never could really quite figure that out. I know he's talking about he's going to Beijing to look at college.
Yeah. That's how they write that off is that that they're going to Beijing and like they don't mention this at all. Just happen to be like, just call them on the phone and, all right. Well, then they still make this 1,000-mile trip and apparently in enough time where nobody gets upset about how long they've been gone. I don't know how this happens. They basically, a lot of stuff is just swept under the rug here. This 1,000-mile trip, the fact they don't bring any warm clothes. The only time they even bring up warm clothes is when they're actually near the mountains.
Yeah.
And like and Burnish is like, here, I'll have my guys give you your coats.
Yeah. And there's that one guy that took his pants off apparently.
Yeah. He said, just your coats.
So he just wanted the coats, Dave.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So this is one of those big, huge things where there's an adventure. They go across the country. They go to all these amazing places in China and everything.
But it's not that exciting.
No, there's a really cool scene, I thought, when they're getting away from the bad guys, and because Abominable has these, now, oh, by the way, did we mention Abominable has special powers?
Yeah.
Abominable has special powers where, like, he can, like, start glowing, and he can change nature around him and everything. And the first time we ever really see this, I guess there's a one small thing early on, like we see flowers, like E.T., like almost.
Yeah.
You see flowers on the rooftop grow. Yeah. And then later on, he makes it where blueberries grow to an insane, to like bomb-like size.
Yeah.
And they have to run because that's how big they are. and then there's another scene where they're being chased by the bad guys and they're in a boat and they're going through rice fields.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a point where they go through, they're just going through rice and they're like, well, I guess the boat's going to stop.
Yeah.
But he does his power thing and it makes the rice fields all look like ocean waves.
Yeah. That probably was the coolest scene, especially visually.
Yeah. And it leads to a fairly cool, although it's a cool scene where they get to that Buddha thing and they're going to and she finds out that this is where she and her father were going to, they were going to have a cross-country trip before he died.
Yes.
And she finds out that all the places that they're going, they've been, are places they wanted to
and
go.
Don't they kind of make it seem like Everest did that on purpose, which was really weird because I'm like, that doesn't even, I wasn't even, and like, when I had forgotten those things existed, like those pictures existed, because that was the whole thing they set up where she had this wall of pictures on the roof of the places her and her father wanted to go to together, which was kind of the up.
Well,
thing.
And the other thing confusing about it is they bring that up right after Abominable has been introduced.
Yeah.
And we think that that's what she's done. I thought at first, just seeing that map, that's what she had plotted out to get him to Everest. And I didn't know that was even her and her father or anything.
Yeah.
But that was just because I wasn't looking too closely. I just thought that was what.
And there was just a super quick aside before she discovered him where she was just, he said something like, you know, dad, we didn't get to go to these places, but I'm trying to save it. That's why she was saving up money.
Yeah.
There's like, but it's a really quick aside. It's very easy to forget because they don't bring it up again until this point.
Mm-hmm. But, it's a cool scene. They get on this Buddha thing and she starts playing her violin music, but it's too Coldplay's Fix You.
Yeah.
And it sort of takes you out of it.
Yep.
Cause you're sitting there going, I know this song. What? And they had been playing some pretty awesome violin music all the way through. So I didn't know why Fix You was like picked for this.
We could have gotten like some nice, like regional music.
Yeah. Which, I'm like, going to guess in other countries it might be a different thing.
Maybe. I don't know. But like I kept thinking of Coco though, where like that was something where they really embraced the culture and that was the music you heard. And,
yes.
And I was hoping, I guess, they would do more of that here and they did not. But that's fine. I mean, it is what it is.
Her violin gets broken during that whole like boat thing and he fixes the violin somehow, Abominable does.
Oh, uses Yeti hair.
And he fixes the violin and then it now has magical properties.
Of course.
Too.
So when when
she does the violin, everything, like flowers start blooming from water droplets. And I heard there was a father with his two kids, in a row in front of me. And this one kid is like, I guess his son was like, that's impossible. That's impossible.
We'll have to hire that kid.
I know. Exactly. He's gonna be on our payroll. So yeah, the whole thing is them just bringing him back. And there was a couple of I would say the funniest thing for me is when Jen escapes from the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
and he's gonna get on. He's looking for a vehicle to get out. So he steals like the keys are thrown his way.
Yeah.
And because of some argument that Dr. Zara has with one of the henchmen. And the keys are just there. So he's like, all right, which, and he's going around and he finds a motorcycle. And we've seen him ride around on a motorcycle before. So he's like, awesome. And the motorcycle basically takes off without him. And then, he decides, all right, I'm going to run through the forest. And it's already been set up that if you try to go towards this one spot in the forest, there's all these evil eyes in like these Scooby-Doo type of like creatures are out there. And so he decides to brave it and he runs through with his phone, only his phone light.
Yeah.
And it's a really fun little montage where he's running through and like, and there's like all sorts of, and they show his path, which is so weird and like Blair Witch Project almost and everything. Family Circus.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And I thought that was my favorite part of the movie, probably.
No, that was good. He ends up getting he gets a boat, right? He like trades his phone for a boat.
Trades his phone for a boat, and the guy who takes the phone immediately just takes a selfie with it.
And he does that whole Rambo thing too, where like he tears off part of his clothes and makes a headband out of it.
Yeah,
and paints the stuff on his face.
Yeah, because at first he's like that Jen character is set up to be like a to be really worried about his appearance and like his social life and all, and he's of course wearing new shoes that are ruined immediately after he jumps on the boat.
I thought that was weird. I didn't really understand like his status though, because there's an early scene where we see her working all of her jobs, and then one of the jobs is she has to throw away like bags of fish for this restaurant.
Yeah.
So she's clearly like, I guess she doesn't smell good. Like she's really dirty when she's walking home. There's like flies around her, which is really dumb, but whatever. And so Jen and his like two girlfriends or whatever, they're walking past her and they make some comment about what is that smell? And they, to me at first, I was like, oh, these are like the rich kids, the preppy kids or whatever. But then you find out he lives in her apartment building.
Yeah. That was one thing that I didn't understand either. It was a real convenient way of making those characters interact with each other.
And it didn't seem like she was like poor. I mean, they had like just had an apartment. Yeah. I mean,
they're not poor, but
it was her and her mom and her grandmother that was always making dumplings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because now after Bao, we can't have any kind of like, you know,
that was like her only trait though, man. That woman just made dumplings. Yeah. Every time you saw her, she was making dumplings.
Yeah. I didn't get that either, but, because they do set him up as someone who's like richer than everybody else and popular and everything.
And then in the scene you're talking about is where he finally figures out what he needs to do. He's okay getting dirty.
Yeah.
Quote unquote and all that, you know. So. Yeah. But it's fine. It's a fun moment.
Yeah. So in the end, there are moments sprinkled in that are fun. Abominable, the Everest character is fun. It's just that, you know, there's nothing great here, but there's, I don't know if it's aspiring to that either. So, you know, it is what it is, you know, that's exactly what this movie is.
Yeah. Maybe I should have given it a C+, but it's, I mean, it's fine. Like, and I really think like kids are going to dig it. Like and especially with nothing else out there. And this has a couple weeks before like Adam's Family, I think, comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how good that's going to
be. Yeah. I'm not excited about
it. Well, and I'm not really sure if kids are that excited about it. Cause like even my daughter, she doesn't know what the Adam's Family is. And it just looks kind of like a silly movie.
I think
movie
they're kind of hoping that the name recognition is not a big deal and that they'll just want to go see it based on how it looks. But I don't know. I thought, I'm rarely super wrong about a movie's box office, but I remember when Smurfs came out and I thought the exact same thing. I was like, hey, who in this day and age knows what the Smurfs are? Yeah. And then it went on to be this huge hit.
The first one did, right?
The first one. The second one did nothing. But like,
and then that animated one didn't do anything either. That they released like a couple years later.
Oh, I thought they were all animated.
Well, it was one of those where there were live action people in it, though.
Oh, okay.
Like Gargamel was live action, and then Jenna Mays, is that her name?
Yeah, Jenna Mays. Yeah,
like her and. I don't remember.
Or Gemma May,
something like that. And then I can't think of anybody's name right now. Doogie Howser.
Neil Patrick
Harris. I think they were like the adult characters, and but the Smurfs were animated, or they were claymation or CG or whatever. I guess they were CG. But anyways, you're right. Yeah, I didn't think that movie was going to do anything.
Jemma Mays. That's why I was like, nothing seemed right that we said.
you know, the girl that was allergic to cum on The League.
Hey, for all you kids out there listening about this this abominable, you know, she was allergic to cum in The League.
how do we come back from that? But no, but so I think this movie is probably going to be fairly successful. And I mean, you know, it's not going to be huge. But,
no.
But I just would say for, you know, the people with kids, like I said earlier, I think this is a perfectly fine movie to take your kids to. I don't think you're going to feel like you wasted your time doing it. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to do it for this mini pod of I can't abominable,
Yeti pod.
If you want to comment on this, go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. There's a CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, and you can be found at Twitter, Jonathan.
I'm on at SamLoomis13. And I forgot to mention this the last couple of mini pods we did, but you can also, if you want to hear me do other things, you can hear me on Behind the Sins podcast, which I do with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes. We have coined ourselves as the CinemaSins B team, and we have a good time over there. And you guys show up on there occasionally.
Yeah, we do.
So that's always a fun thing to listen to.
When guys are like derelict in your duties, we show up.
And then obviously they can hear you every week on the CinCast. So,
that's true.
Yeah. So yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Woggins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
So we're going, you know, we're going to Disney and next week after this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going, there's like two other families that are going at the same time we are. So we're doing some stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to buy, the guys were going to Universal Horror Nights one night while the women and the kids are going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which I've been to a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought my ticket for the Universal Horror Nights today. $250.
Jesus. Really?
For one fucking day. Well, what it is the ticket itself is like $70. So you're just like, okay, cool. So then you call and they're like, well, if you want to not have to wait in line, you know, you can get this express pass. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. The express pass is almost double.
Jeez.
On top, which like Disney, the fast passes are just included with what you do. You just have to get them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Universal just does like this all-inclusive package. And then they give you this deal where it's like, for $25 more, you can come to the park like 3 hours early and ride all these rides. And I'm like, well, I mean, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I feel like I've just been taken advantage of.
Yeah.
In all my orifices.
Oh, yeah. They know that you want to do something down there, so they jack that price up. They know you're here probably, like, you probably don't go down just for Universal Studios a lot of time. You're going
exactly,
down there
yeah.
for Disney, so they're charging you Disney prices.
Yeah, well, and see, the thing with Disney, like, I don't know how people go on vacation with, like, multiple kids.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Disney, we're DVC, we're Disney Vacation Club members, which means you buy, it's kind of like a timeshare, but you buy points,
mm-hmm.
and you can use those points at any time during the year. Depending on what time of year it is, sometimes it's more points you have to use, vice versa. So our lodging is taken care of when we go.
Mm-hmm.
And but you still have to get tickets to the park. You still have to eat souvenirs.
Yep.
I mean, so we still spend, you know, a few thousand.
Yeah.
I mean, easy. Mm-hmm. And we have one child.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can cut corners, but you can only cut so many corners.
Yeah, I imagine people with multiple kids going down to Disney are either rich or
they have to be,
or they are finding some other sort of deal where they
yeah.
go to the park and then they're like, "Well, we're gonna eat before we go there."
Yeah, and you can bring food in so mm-hmm. that you'll see people like...
That's kind of amazing, actually.
Oh, yeah, it is. That is one thing that's kind of interesting. You can't bring, like, glass and stuff, but, like, if, you know, people with strollers, like, they'll bring, like, small coolers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring bottled waters in and stuff, yeah. But you'll see people occasionally at a picnic, like, at one... Not picnic table, but, like, at one of the outside tables, like, they'll be eating a sandwich or something.
Yeah.
So, and I was looking up these. I hadn't looked up these voices yet. There's not a lot of...
Yeah, there's not a lot of known talent. What is weird, though, is that Chloe Bennett is the voice of Yi.
Yeah, like it's all. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we might discuss that. I did not know that. Who is she again? She's
the main chick.
Oh, she's from she's from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We actually gave because of her an agent. We gave a sent off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of her.
Oh, really? For what reason?
She's just good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was kind of one of those where it was like, there's a lot of problems with this, but Chloe Bennett is not one of them, yeah, or something like that. Eddie Izzard, I had a hard time figuring out. Like, I was like, I knew the voice.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was at all.
And at one point, I even thought it might be Graham Norton. I don't know why, but I was just like, I was trying really hard to figure out. But anyways. Also, I was told by, well, just one person on Twitter. I don't know how many people are actually saying this, but I was told that I need to work on my mini pod game as far as like when I... I guess because Barrett and Jeremy always are so enthusiastic.
Always yell the mini pod.
But my thing was like, I didn't want to like, I just felt like that was their thing.
Yeah, I know.
Although I was really mad on Hustlers that I didn't say Jenny Pod.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thought about that later. So. It's like, just, you know, I might as well just fucking quit. I'm clearly not able to do this correctly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's half the experience of someone yelling mini pod or a variation of it.
He had a lot of compliments on top of that though.
Yeah, it's,
so it was all good.
Yeah,
it was just like, really, this is what I'm not doing right.
I love how Wikipedia, like whoever writes those things, are very matter of fact about things, and they're like, we're not going to worry about like inconsistencies. This is just what happens.
Well, like I mean, and you never, and it's really weird too because like you'll look up like some like really big movie, like I can't even get an example, like maybe like Argo. And there'll be like three paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll look up like Friday, like Jason Goes to Hell, mm-hmm, the final Friday, and there'll be like two pages.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never like Abominable. There's a paragraph. Whereas, mm-hmm, Ad Astra, there was like a ton of shit.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, it's weird. I don't know. Is it all like volunteer? Is it all people just writing in?
Yeah. It's people who write it in. And then I don't know if they, I'm not sure how, if there's a, like a submission rule or if you can just do it and then somebody comes across it and says, okay, there's some bad information here. We need to change that.
I've donated a couple bucks every now and then though, just because I mean, I do enjoy, I like having it there. It does serve its purpose sometimes, especially like it's really, I love doing the like any year in film.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much information on there if you ever need to know something about it. I mean, that's what, you know, I've used in the past for.
Yeah.
If I've wanted to go back and look at a certain year and try to watch some stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. Although they do suffer. It's not as bad as IMDb, but some of the stuff is still annoying because it's like it was released in a festival for 1 week, but it didn't actually come out here until like the next year. So mm-hmm. Wikipedia will have it on both years.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, you know, it'll be like something will be listed as 2010, but then you'll pull it up and it'll say released in the U.S. January 19th, 2011.
It's like, yeah.
Why isn't this fucking under 2011?
Yeah.
Now you got my list all screwed up.
Yeah. Never seems to be consensus about when a movie actually came out a lot of times. Like, well, it was played in festivals and blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to know when it came out in a theater and you could pay money for it.
Well, this is like stuff only like, you know, like film geeks and stuff probably worry about. But like when we're trying to do our year end stuff, like One Cut of the Dead, that just came out on Shudder. And to the best of my knowledge, other than like a couple, like it recently had a theater, like Belcourt had it for a night recently. And I haven't watched it yet, so I don't have an opinion on it. But I guess that counts as a 2019 film, even though like I've heard people talking about it for like 2 years now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think that's the release. I mean, it hasn't really had a U.S. release.
Yeah, I mean, I would still defer to where did it get released?
Yeah.
And were the public able to go and buy tickets for it?
Because I know Jeremy got like the Blu-ray, but I think he got like it was like a UK, you know, Blu-ray or Japan or somewhere. I mean, it wasn't like a. I don't think it's been released here. Blu-ray.
I don't know. I watched his Blu-ray.
Did you like it?
I did.
I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm hoping to watch it this weekend.
Yeah,
but it's not very long, so
no.
And I'm so excited because I know nothing about it.
Oh,
like,
good.
I just know that they're filming a zombie movie.
Best not to know about.
That's anything. What I've heard, so I just avoided everything.
Yeah.